my Nike shoes.
I used to wear worldly clothing. So, no, shoes. Well, first of all, you brought it up. Nike.
Mm-hmm. A little expensive. On the-
well, do you know what that logo is?
No.
It's a goddess symbol.
Oh, Nike? The goddess of
Look
Nike.
It up. Yeah. It's a goddess symbol.
Okay.
Should we probably have goddess symbols on our temple?
No.
So that's just one little thing. Okay. Now, other than that, you got black shoes on. Not a problem. Big deal. Shoes, the Bible doesn't talk about. People say, you wear sandals. Yeah, Jesus wore sandals. That's not why I wear them. Yep. I like my feet being aired out. But shoes, no. But here's how God dressed us. In Genesis 3:21, he killed animals, shed blood, and he put us in a tunic-like garment. Man now knew sin, and he put us in a garment. Why do you think he put us in a garment like this? To hide our forms, not to show off our butts and our crotches and our breasts. I'm being graphic. You're old enough. Why do you think God did that?
To prevent, like, lust and all that, right?
Thank you. Yeah. So now, I mean, half these young women that walk out here, I can look at the ground.
Yeah.
And they're Christians claiming. Is that how you dress your temple?
No.
So God has a standard. Like I said, women cover their heads. It's a sign for the angels. It covers their glory. Men should wear a tunic-like garment that God, and it never changed in the Bible. Never.
Yeah.
Never. Right. Jesus is not coming back in an athletic shirt and t-shirt, shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
He's coming back in a robe.
Yeah.
And all of them wore tunics and robes. And guess what we get at the end if we endure?
White.
We get a white robe of righteousness.
Right.
So we better get used to being dressed godly, not like the culture. And the whole idea of that is, Paul says, be a living sacrifice of Romans 12 and don't conform to the world. So when we dress in a form like the world in fashion, if we put on something to go, man, I feel good. This makes me look good. What is that called? Proverbs 6:17. The Bible says God hates a proud look. It's an abomination to him. Now, if you've ever seen any other street preachers, I hardly see any, but I know there's a bunch online. A lot of street preachers will come out in the street and they will yell at, like, homosexuals, and they'll yell at this, and they'll call them, you know, sodomites and this. They yell and they say, you're an abomination. Do you know a proud look is an abomination to God? And those men have proud looks in their buildings and their baptisms. Their women are dressing up, makeup, jewelry. The men are working out wearing shirts too tight to what? Show off their body. Is that pride?
You're right. Yeah.
How are we supposed to? Did you know this? This will change your dress if you really love God and you're of God. Ready? What are clothing? I just explained it to you. What God did. What are clothing technically according to God's theology?
Is to
cover us.
Yeah, cover us.
Because of
pride.
Because what happened to Adam and Eve?
They sinned against God and they became
their sin coverings.
Yeah.
Their sin coverings. And they tried to dress in their own fashion. God changed it. Go read it. God changed it and did it himself. Don't you think that sounds really important?
Yeah.
Nobody teaches that.
Yeah.
Nobody teaches it. You know why? It'll separate you from the culture.
Well, yeah.
Hey, you'll be holy just like what the Bible says you should be. You probably saw me and go, these people look different. Why are they standing out here? If I look like the world and I'm out here, you'd go, yeah, he's just like us. But God's people are different, Adam. They're not part of the world. And starting with dress, that's just one part. How we talk, how we spend our money, who we associate with. This is corrupt association. They're bringing Roman Catholic Mass in. I call them music whores. What does a whore do?
If you have a whore, it's like sex.
Sells her body for money.
Yep.
The Bible, people hate that word. It's in the Bible all over. Go look up that word. There's spiritual whoredom, which is what American church does. And then there's physical whoredom. What do you think men that are selling music, becoming millionaires with God's name attached to it, what do you think that would be called? They're music whores. Toby Mac is a music whore. And he's a heretic. He unites to all types of false ways. Folks, you're being deceived by false American churchianity. Look up our testing. Open your Bible, sir. Can you show me the gospel?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which one do you want?
Well, what? Let's talk. What's more important, carnal music or the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then why don't we talk?
I'm going with my family, sir.
There you go. Following the flesh. See, I'm doing an experiment. 30,000 people will come here, and a lot of them will walk by me, and I'm saying, what man who opposes me, like you're standing talking, I'll talk to a lot of seekers today, what man will come and say, you're wrong, and open the Bible and show me? You know what, Adam? They won't. Why do you think they won't?
Well, it's not there.
It's not there. Very good observation, young man. How old are you, by the way?
21.
So do you belong to a religious system?
It's a non-denominational church.
Okay. So would you like to test it real quick?
I will tell you that I am very young in the faith. So I'm just going to be honest with you. I probably will not test it today because I will tell you that I don't know too much.
Well, we have a 10-point test on our website.
Okay.
First of all, they don't teach that gospel because they would have already called you out of the world and started instructing you in all this, and they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not, they don't, the gospel they have is false. It doesn't call you out of the world. Even if they say repentance, they don't do it. The pastor, if he hasn't called you out of the sports and the television and the entertainment and all that, he's not preaching the biblical gospel calls you out of the world.
Like sports, too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Name a sport.
Football. But it's
Packers. Violent? Is it violent?
Yeah.
Is it covetous to win?
Yeah.
Is it prideful?
Yeah.
Is it vain and how they dress and showing their bodies off and rowdiness? Does that sound godly to you?
No, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what did Jesus call us to do? Did Jesus call us to entertain ourselves or to go preach the gospel, make disciples, and labor for the kingdom?
The second one. Yeah,
name any sport. I mean, I'll tell you, golf. Okay, golf is a little less, but it's an idle pursuit when we're supposed to be. What did Jesus do? He slept, ate, and worked. He fellowshipped with saints. He preached the gospel. He went in and restored. Right? And he did like 4 or 5 things. That's all his life was. He didn't go into the pagan Roman games for entertainment. He wasn't part of the world. So this is what I'm telling you about American churchianity. It's false. It's corrupt. It's not of God. And that's why we come to these places. We stand outside events. We stand outside religious churches on the public sidewalk. Literally, you heard me. I will stand on the public sidewalk outside a religious place. Don't bother their services and preach. They call the police on me. The pastor comes out and says, you better leave. He won't open his Bible. We're calling the cops. I said, call him. I witness to the cops. The cops go, oh, you're fine. You're peaceful. These are corrupt men. The church system is corrupt. And if you, what's the name of your church?
It's called Christ the Rock.
Christ the Rock in this town?
Appleton.
Okay, Christ the Rock. Yeah, if I was to test it, I'm sure we'd find 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 sins. If I told you one sin will keep you out of the kingdom of God, one willful sin, do you believe that? So if they have 5, 6, 7, 8, we already know they keep pagan holidays.
Yes.
They don't call you out of the world.
From what I guess I could tell, no.
They teach women to cover their heads and dress biblical. No. They teach that, you know, building centered faith. So basically, here's what I hate about churchianity. I love the people. I love you. I love all the people. Here's what I hate about churchianity. Ready? It gives you a false. Do you know what a placebo is?
Yeah.
It gives you a false. I'm going into this building. Singing to God, saying some prayers. We pay a guy to give us a message every week, which is not of God, by the way. All the men should be practicing, using their gifts, not one modern pastor. It gives people a place to then go do their religious service, and then they leave and go in the world. And how do they live, Adam?
The same.
Like the world. I hate it because it gives you a false placebo. When people run into me, I say, stop that. That's not worship of God. There is no worship service in the Bible. Your entire life is worship. Are you married?
No.
Do you hope to get married someday?
Yes. Yep.
When you get married, are you pretty much just going to be a faithful father and husband when you're at home?
No.
Or do you plan to do that when you're away from your wife?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
You get my point.
Right.
Are you going to give God everything in that building on Sunday, which God didn't ordain that? How about when you go out? Ready? So people will dress up. Let me show you their hypocrisy. Lip service, Matthew 15. People will dress up and give their Sunday best, pretend like they love God, carry a Bible. I see this every week. Carry a Bible. Sing songs, oh, everything for you, Jesus. They come out and they walk past me and I go, sir, can you be of the world? Can you be of Roman, can you be of the Packers? And they go, they won't give up the Packers. Women won't give up their makeup and their jewelry. They were just singing, they'd give everything to Jesus. But here's the thing. Then you know what they'll do? They'll take off their Sunday best. They'll go to the beach. What do you put on when you're at the beach?
Very little clothing.
Your underwear.
Yeah.
This is underwear. You're in your underwear. Would you run around here in your underwear? People go and do it at the beach.
Yeah.
Christian people, so-called Christian people. I'm just showing you the hypocrisy,
yeah.
The false ways, and my website teaches all this, and you have my email,
yes.
And anything you want to contest, if your dad says, hey, that guy's a kook, really? Have your dad come tell me. We'll do a three-way talk.
Yeah. So every time when I'm in a church service, it's kind of interesting. So after the service is done, we go out into the area where there's like a cafe and
yep.
Everyone's talking. It's, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, you know,
folks, you're being deceived by false churchianity. If you're part of this, Jesus didn't die so that you could live a worldly carnal life and follow false churchianity. My testing proves LifeFest linked to Roman Catholicism, worldliness, false gospel. Toby Mac and men like him are music whores selling the things of God. Jesus made a whip for that in John 2. The testing exposes it all. Worldly carnalness. If you're a worldly carnal man, are you holy and of God?
I'm good. I'm just talking with them.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Oh,
hey, gospel card. You may be a seeker.
I'm good. I'm already a believer.
Oh, but you're not a believer. Has your heart been changed by God?
Trust me. I've been transformed. I haven't been walking with the Lord.
How come your outsides hasn't changed?
Huh?
How come your outside? If we're of the vine.
How is my outside? Because I'm
you're showing your body off. That's a temple of God, and you're marking it all up with words, and you're political, Bush, politics. How, is that honoring to God? Would you spray paint on God's holy temple?
No, I wouldn't spray paint.
That's the temple. They haven't even taught you that, whatever church system you're in. You should be covering your body up, sir. Working out with weights to show off. I used to be a bodybuilder. I know all about pride. Did you know it's an abomination to God to be proud?
Hey, let me tell you something. God worked on my heart with my pride, all right?
Right. He's well, then cover yourself up. Prove it. Cover yourself up.
It's not sinful whatsoever.
Really?
Really.
Showing your body off? That's nakedness, sir.
No, it's not.
Sure, it's nakedness.
Everything's nakedness. Then this is nakedness.
No.
Yes, it is.
No. The Bible tells us to wear a tunic-like garment. You're not wearing that. In Genesis 3.
Everything's clothed.
It tells us what to cover. But let's get off of that. Roman Catholicism goes on here every day. This is a blasphemy against God.
Listen, I came here for casting crowns.
Casting Crowns is another music core that makes unbiblical music.
Not.
They have false gospels. Of course.
I don't think you have.
Of course they have. It doesn't matter. They're fleshly. They're instrumental. They're linked to ecumenicalism. They're linked to the evangelical world. They keep pagan holidays. So they're feminized. They're selling the things of God.
Are they feminized?
How are they feminized?
Yeah.
They don't teach women in their religious bodies how to dress. They let women get up on stage and show. They let women get up. All these music people let women get on stage and show themselves off.
Time on. I don't know.
Pride and vanity, showing themselves off.
Hey, bump the brake. Let me ask you a question, right? So I'm stopping here. I'm reading this. I'm listening to you.
You can move on.
But the thing is, so that's the thing is, you want someone to stop, but then I ask you a question.
I only want seekers to stop. I'm talking to this man. He's a seeker. If you're not a seeker, you probably should just keep walking. Doesn't sound like you're a seeker. You're defending your sin.
No, I'm not.
I know the difference. You are.
No.
I can tell. I love you. You're a worldly man going into a false offering. You can't defend it, sir.
You're a worldly man as well.
No, I'm not a worldly man.
Yes,
no,
sir.
I repented of my worldliness.
We're of the world, but we're not in the world.
Yeah, but you are in the world.
No.
This is the world.
No, it's not.
Yeah, this is the world.
No,
I hope you repent.
Just wait. Real quick.
I hope you repent.
Where do you call home?
I hope you repent.
It's okay.
We'll go home when the Lord calls us home.
It's the beauty of...
We're going to preach the gospel.
I send you home.
Really? You're going to send me home? Really?
It's just the beauty of
really?
America.
You think I'm afraid of you?
It's the beauty of... Hey, stop.
I'm not afraid of you.
It's the beauty of America.
I love you. You need to repent. You're a wicked, vile, fleshly man. Really? Another man making threats, officer. Let's put him on notice. Making threats. I'm a peace-loving man. You need to repent, sir. I'm not going to back down to you, but I do love you. That's the fruit of this place. I had another guy getting into my face and another guy. Look at the fruit of this place.
That's the thing. You can't... Okay.
I can judge it by Bob Lentz all the way down. Bob Lentz is linked to Roman Catholicism. Heresy, Bob Lentz is worldly and carnal. Heresy, Bob Lentz is of the world. Heresy, Bob Lentz unites to man-made churchianity. Heresy, all of this is sin. Enough said. I don't need to hear your excuses, sir.
I don't have excuses.
Well, there you go. Unless you're seeking truth, you're seeking truth, I'm not interested in hearing false people's blather.
So
I don't have to.
You for truth instead of seeking God's word.
Go to the Word of God.
Perfect. That's what I'm doing.
Go to the Word of God.
Why can't I ask you a question?
If you went to the Word of God, you wouldn't be here.
But why can't I ask you a question without shoving it down my throat?
I'm not shoving it down your throat. I don't entertain people that don't hear truth.
Are
I don't.
Actually talking to him? Because if you are, I'm sorry for.
No. This is disgusting.
Yeah, we were having a talk, but whatever. You can stand there. It's a free speech. You can ask anything you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer it.
I asked you why you think Casting Crowns is feminine, and then you went into
the
entire life.
The CCM
crowd.
Music industry is feminized in general. Casting Crowns is worldly. They sell the music of God. Jesus made a whip for that. They have a false gospel. They're in pride and vanity on their albums, all about them. This is not of God. The whole idea of getting on stage, doing music, people jumping up and down, the Holy Spirit gives you joy in the Bible. Do you know what that word means, Adam, in the Bible?
Joy.
Kara. Do you know what it means? It has nothing to do with the flesh. Inner calm and peace, cheer. Has nothing to do with jumping up and down. That's all Old Testament. David danced because he didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us calm, peace, the ability to stand in the face of a mocker or someone threatening you. He gives you calm and peace. What happens in there is fleshly. Last year, they had Skillet here. Skillet is a corrupt, demonic-like band that goes to places like Hellfest. Do you know what Hellfest is? Hellfest is a rock concert where they literally worship Satan. And Skillet goes there, plays there, and plays a few songs with a few little Christian lyrics and thinks they're evangelizing them. That's like sleeping with a whore and then telling her the gospel and approving of it. That makes ridiculous sense, doesn't it? That's what Skillet does. They did that. Last year we were here. So this, you can't defend this. Last year we were here and some young guy like you came out and he said, you don't know the half of it. You know what's going on in there? I said, what? He said, there's a band in there with upside down crosses. Do you know what that's a sign of?
Yeah.
Satan worship. And I listened. He goes, listen to it. And they were up on a stage going, does that sound like of Jesus Christ? That's what Life Fest puts on. And then they have all the other innate stuff. But all of this music is of the flesh. Romans 8:8 says you can't please God in the flesh. You live in the flesh. I used to. I know it. I know it. I've been there. I've repented and come out of all that. And you're going to lose your soul because you can't believe Jesus in your heart and your outside isn't transformed. That's like a wife who's married to her husband and she goes lays with other men. He catches her and says, how could you do this to me? And she says, I love you in my heart. Does that matter, Adam?
No.
What should her outside actions show with the heart? To match God's word in holiness and obedience. And so Life Fest, if you look up
Listen,
my testing.
I'm not defending Life Fest.
Well, you're here uniting to it. So that's why I'm here. The American church system is corrupt. Sunday's
listen,
not the Lord's day.
I agree with that.
Pagan holidays,
hey,
Christmas and Easter.
Hey, the thing is, right? I came here just to ask you a question, right? And then instead of actually like listening to me.
I've been preaching you the truth that you need.
No.
See, you need to listen to somebody that has the truth because you obviously haven't gotten to the truth in all your years.
No, I have gotten
to
the truth.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
Jesus said you know a tree by its fruit.
Okay, so where does it say dress with a tunic?
I'm sorry, Genesis 3:21.
Okay,
God killed animals and put us in a kutneth, which is a tunic, and it's never changed to hide our body parts because man fell into sin.
Do you follow all the biblical laws?
No, that's before Torah law.
Genesis, right?
That's before Torah law. That's right with husband and wife marriage, dominion. Genesis 3 is right in the beginning of creation. Torah doesn't come along until Exodus 20, sir. Read your Bible. Study better. We don't keep the Levitical law. Yeah. We keep pre-Torah and we keep the Ten Commandments. We're resting in Christ, not Saturday Sabbath. We're resting in Christ today. And then we keep the New Testament. But all through the New Testament, it teaches women in 1 Timothy 2 to dress in the King James Bible. Let's go here. King James Bible is a terrible translation in some areas. I use it, but I test it to the Greek. It says, dress in modest apparel. What is that? Some woman wears pants down to here, shorts to here. She thinks it's modest. Some here, some are wearing them like this. And they go, well, where's modest? No, the actual Greek says neat, orderly robes and dresses. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 2:9. Robes and dresses. So all through the New and Old Testament, it tells us how to dress our temples. We're not to show it off in pride and vanity. That's what the American church system does. I'm watching it. Pride, it's adorned. Peter says, don't adorn. That's why tattoos are sinful. They adorn. They mark up your temple and they adorn you when we're supposed to be adorned with the love of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the holiness of God. So if you just test all your ways and open the scriptures, don't just believe and follow Jesus in your heart. Your heart is deceitfully wicked, sir. You have to follow Christ in a new heart and a new mind, and it will lead you right out. I've been right where you were. I was a worldly evangelical, weightlifting, showing my body off. And when I started scouring the scriptures, I was a carnal, fleshly man claiming Jesus. Hey, you know how that happened? I had a false Jesus. They were teaching me a false gospel. They were telling me I could be of the world and watch the Packers and do my hunting and fishing idolatry and lift my weights and be all prideful and puffed up. But you love Jesus in your heart, and Jesus died for all your sins, so it doesn't matter because we're all a bunch of big sinners.
No.
That's a lie.
No.
You got to repent of your sin.
I'm not.
I'm just preaching what the American church teaches. You got to repent of your sin. Any sin you don't repent of is on your record.
I disagree with a lot of the American church. The Western.
Are you united to it?
Huh?
Do you go to it on Sunday?
I do.
There you go. Then you're part of it. You sing and pray with them. You're united
to
it.
Which church do you go to?
I don't go to any church.
So
we're home. We're home fellowship believers. We reject all of the false ways. Test yourself, sir. I hope you go deeper and come out of your pride, your vanity. We love you. So this is a good example. You see the church system and they get all fleshly. And what you'll listen, if you go listen to some of my audios and my videos, what you'll find is I'll try to shut people down to preach truth to them. Why do you think I do that?
The truth is what sets them free.
Right. So you look at a guy like that, or you get a 50-year-old guy standing in front of me. He's had Christianity for 35 years. He hasn't gotten to a sound gospel. He hasn't gotten to a salvation. Does he need to talk, or does he need to listen to the word preached to him?
Yeah.
And so that's why I told him, I said, you know, if you don't want to listen, you need to go. I send people away that don't want to listen. You and other people come up and listen. And guess what? Because I basically overpowered him preach, he got a lot of truth, didn't he? He's got to go deal with that. I disagree with a lot. See, people tell me that. I disagree with the American church. Why are you promoting it? You know what else is creeping into these places? The LGBT crowd through the CCM music.
Another discussion I'll have is lately I've seen like trans pastors or something like that.
Wait, you were telling, hold on, I didn't want to interrupt you. Hold that thought. You were telling me you go into the foyer of your church. See, I don't forget stuff. And before he walked up, you go into your foyer of your church and you said it was bothering you. What was going on there?
Oh, well, I'm just kind of what you said is like, we'll sing the songs and then I hear like people gossiping about one another.
Talking about football, fishing, we're going to the beach, we're doing this. They're not of God. They're not of God. Those places are not of God, Adam. Those are synagogues of Satan, created by Satan. Two kingdoms. What two kingdoms are there? Do you know?
Well, the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of hell.
Very good. Kingdom of God in Christ that's in the heart of his people today. One day it's going to come physically on the earth with a new heaven, new Jerusalem. And then there's the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
What's the kingdom of Satan?
Probably the kingdom of this world. Is that what we're
Would the
at?
False churches fall in that?
Yeah.
Who's the father of lies?
Satan.
So if it's full of lies like Good Friday, Easter, pagan holidays, feminization, Satan created these. Do you think Satan would be wise to create a counterfeit to the real thing to deceive people?
He's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
He
believes in Jesus, but he's not going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
He's not. So you enter the kingdom of God through repentance that we talked about, and you walk in it right now. See, most of evangelicalism just wants to get to heaven. You need to walk in the kingdom of God right now to be eligible to even make it to the heaven when you die. Makes sense, doesn't it? Kind of like you got to get married to a woman to get the benefits of the marriage.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just a fornicator.
Right.
Well, that's what they are. So, folks, you're being deceived by false American churchianity. Life Fest is not of God. Sir, if you want to bring your Bible, I can show you in the scriptures. We could talk about the gospel that transforms your life versus fleshly music. Examine yourselves, lest you be a reprobate. Apostle Paul, Adam, said, examine yourself, lest you be a reprobate. And he said, I could be a reprobate. If Paul had to examine himself, what do you think we should be doing? Right? So think about this. So you're seeing the fruit of this place. Still waiting for any man to bring a Bible and go, no, look it, we can be worldly. No, we can be carnal. No, we can follow false ways and not be worshiping God in vain. No, the reason they don't bring anything, ready? John 3:19-21. Jesus said, light has come. He's the light. His word's the light. Because men love their sin, they go into the darkness. And those that love the truth come in the light. See the difference? So you might want truth, so you come in light to talk. What do people do? They defend their sin and then they run into the darkness. When the police show up, what do criminals do?
Run away.
Run away. Yeah. When the police show up, what do law-abiding citizens do? Hi, officer. Good to see you here.
Yeah.
Just like that. I'm glad the police are here because you see that guy? I might take you out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What are you talking about, sir? Now, just so you know, I'm not going to fight that man, but I'm not backing down to him either. If he walks up and punches me, that's my reasonable service. But I'm not backing down to them because, see, God's people are not fearful. They're bold as lions, Proverbs says. And boldness means preach the truth, put forth the truth, call people out of their sin. Pastors like your church, I got to say it, are interested in filling up buildings and placating to people's itchy ears in their flesh. You know that's true. Coffee bars, what can we do fun, programs. Sir, you need to repent. Can you open your Bible and talk about the biblical gospel? You're gonna lose your soul in Life Fest and the American church system.
So before I walk with you, I was actually unfortunately I don't have my pastor's number, but I do actually want to go to church on Sunday because I do want to ask him about a bunch of these things, and I'll be happy to email you with what his response is.
Yeah, do me a favor. I'd love that. Test me. Do me a favor. So if you go to your pastor, your dad, or anybody, and you say, hey, I met the street preacher, and they go on my website, ready? Here's what 99% of them are going to say. I'm going to tell you, ready? Oh, he's works-based. Oh, he's a cult. Oh, they're legalists. Oh, stay away from them. And you know what I want you to say? Because that's how they write off the truth. That, you know, they did that to Jesus. They said he was demon-possessed. He was a wine-bibber. He was a drunk. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, well, pastor, I talked to this guy. He'll talk to people. Dad, let's get him on the phone. Let's do a three-way phone call. Hey, if he's in the area, he'll come meet with us in a park somewhere. And I want you to show him in Scripture his sin. Because he said, if any man can show him his error, he'll repent. Now, if that happens, he'll listen to you. Then he's going to ask you a bunch of questions. Will you guys repent of your sin? And they all know they're keeping sin that they won't repent of. So don't let anybody, like you said, gossip and slander me. Have them say, will you say that to his face? Because he'd love to talk to you. Because that's what they do. What they're going to try to do. Ready? I got to warn you. If there's a little bit of a spark of truth in you, which I see there is, you're going to go to your dad, who probably is a worldly, compromised Christian man. You're going to go to your pastor, who makes a living by this worldly compromise. What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to stoke your fire, or are they going to pour water to keep you with them?
Yeah, water, yeah.
You want my opinion?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you my opinion.
Sure.
I've been doing this for a lot of years. Don't go to them.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Word of God. You start studying. If my website helps you, fine. If not, you say, I can't trust him either. Go to the scriptures, cry out to God and say, God, I don't think this is right. There's something wrong with that church system and I'm like the world. Show me in the scriptures and start reading in the New Testament, reading in the epistles, start reading all of this and start realizing, and God will show you. And if you will obey, I'm helping a young brother right now and he is amazed. He said, you know what? He said, I've been struggling my flesh and battling in the church system. He said, I'm obeying in my dress. I'm obeying in my associations. I'm obeying and coming out of things. And he said, you know what's happening to me? I said, what? He said, I'm getting strength. I'm standing strong. He said, the Spirit's rising up me. I said, God's flooding you with grace to make you overcome that. When you don't obey God, do you think you get grace? So I would encourage you not to go to them for 2, 3, 4 months. Don't. Study the Word of God. If I can help you, fine. If you have questions, email me. Go to the Word of God. They're not teaching you the Word of God. All they're going to do is dump water on you. Be a Berean. Scour the scriptures. I knew there was something in you. And I may have come here just for you.
Yeah.
I travel across the country. I go all over. I met a guy up in Hayward. And he was like you listening. And so there were some mockers, churchianity guys. And he later found me in the same preach, and then he emailed me, and him and I are now encouraging each other, and this is why people tell you, street preaching, all these people tell you, that doesn't work. Look at, there's 30,000 of us in there. Look at how many are with you. Ask Noah about that.
Well, the path to hell was wide and comfortable, right?
See, yeah. This is how you tickle itchy ears, entertainment, sports, coffee, cookies, food, fleshly music. But the truth of God, the Hebrews 4:12 sword, cuts like a knife, and it calls you to lose your life and follow Christ. The word few in Matthew 7, when Jesus says few are going to find eternal life, look at the Greek words. Get like, if you email me, I'll send you a good software program. It's called Descartes. You can download it on your phone. It's like $1.99. And it gives you can pull up a scripture verse, hold on the word, and it gives you the Greek term. So that's a really good tool. And I encourage people to study the Greek and the Hebrew. That word few in Matthew 7, puny. 8 got on the ark. How many came out of Sodom? 8 out of millions.
Yeah.
How many came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? That's my wife, Amen. This is Adam.
Hey, nice to meet you.
How many came out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
I don't have very few.
3.
I was going to say 2.
Out of tens of thousands, Lot and his 2 daughters, his wife turned back. Ready? This one. I love to teach this one. Ready? The Bible tells us an exact number. Israel goes in the desert after they get rescued from Egypt, and they're grumbling and complaining, and God says, ready? I thought they just had faith. That matters. They were grumbling, complaining. Their works were terrible. God says, none of you. I'm going to run you around circles. Out of 600,000 men, Adam, how many went into the Holy Land because they were faithful and obedient to God in their works, their faith, and their actions? Joshua and Caleb. Now, you look like you're smart. You take that 600,000 to 2. My brother of mine, I'm not smart when it comes to math. You take 330 million Americans. Now, I'm not telling you this, how many are going to make the kingdom. I'm just giving you an example.
Yep.
600,000 to 2. 330 million, it's about 1,200 people.
That's a shame.
Look around you and see how many truly godly, holy, biblical people are that have lost their life, have come out of the world, not Jehovah Witness cults, not the Mormons. Okay, sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16 says sound doctrine saves you. Why? Because we're working our way to heaven? No. Sound doctrine saves you because sound doctrine is truth. Who's the truth?
Jesus.
If you're in truth, are you in Jesus?
Yeah.
If you're in Jesus, can you walk in false ways and lies?
No.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
You know, so all those people in Sodom and Gomorrah,
test yourself, sir. You're being deceived by Life Fest. It's not of God.
It's
not. Why would you be united to it?
I'm working, sorry.
You work there, you're united to it then. You got to repent if you love Christ and obey him. Hebrews 5:9, he made the way of those who obey him. Hebrews 5:9, Christ makes the way of eternal life for anybody that just believes and lives worldly and carnal and those who obey him.
So are people in heaven and hell now, or will they be sorted on Judgment Day? Some neutral place?
Well, the Bible is pretty clear. Paul says about absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. So I believe that. So when you die, you go to be with the Lord. And I believe that's a really deep theological topic. But I don't believe in like a shield. I don't believe like a holding place where people are unconscious right now. Because the Bible talks about when the rich man died, he went right to where?
Yeah, hell.
He was in a literal place of fire. I think there's, I'm just going to use these terms. I think there is a place right now that is like a substitute of hell for those souls, because the ultimate,
actually, that's what I heard.
The ultimate hell was created for Satan and his minions, the lake of fire. It's not yet, because Satan's not in there, his minions aren't yet, but it's coming. So it's kind of like a holding place, not purgatory. It's a holding place of suffering, then people, it says the judgment seat, and then they're all going to be poured into the lake of fire along with Satan, and tribulation's coming. Here's another lie: pre-trib rapture. Your church system probably believes that you're going to get raptured out at the beginning before the tribulation. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "I'm coming to gather my elect." Who's the elect?
Us. Like the
followers. It says he comes at the end of the tribulation. Right there in Matthew 24, comes at the end of the tribulation. They created a second rapture, which is not in the Bible. It was created in the 1800s in England. And so Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 15, at the last trump. When is the last trump? The end of the tribulation. Christ returns for his people. We're going to have to go through the wrath of Satan, not God's wrath, the wrath of Satan on earth. And it may cost many of us our heads. Worship with the mark of the beast, get your head cut off. That's what it's going to come down to. And I'll tell you what, if you're not living for Christ and have lost your life and everything now, you're not going to live for Christ then. You're going to go for your money, your bank account, and safety. You are. So lose your life now when it's easier. And you think COVID was a lockdown? That ain't nothing. Wait until the Antichrist. They're getting ready. Crypto's coming. Once cryptocurrency comes and cash is gone, think about this. Have you thought about this? You got any cash in your wallet right now?
Very little.
Okay, but you have some.
Yeah.
Once they get rid of cash, they can now control you, and if Adam doesn't do what they say, shut your account off.
Do you guys mostly cash?
No, I mean, we're not out of that system, because Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. I mean, I use the internet for my website. I use it for all kinds of things, but it is one day going to clamp down on people. Okay. There's no doubt about it. And so what I'm hoping to do, I'm working while it's day, because Jesus said night's coming when no man could work. So I know they're going to clamp me down. They have already shut down a couple of my blogs I used to have. I know they're going to clamp us down more. Pretty soon this is going to be totally illegal and I'll be going to jail for it. So we're working while it's day to reach people like you to say, get going. You're a young man. I might be dead in the grave and you might get the fire of God and obey him. And you might be out street preaching going, I remember when I talked to that old man in the street 20 years ago and I'm dead and gone. And so my goal is to glorify God, to reach the lost, and to love my neighbors and edify saints and seekers with the truth of God, to stand and be a light in the world. And Jesus said, pray in private. You don't see me praying out here with people, do you? He said, give in private. You don't see me doing boasting about giving out here, do you? He said, let your good works be seen before men so your Father in heaven might be glorified. That's why we do this. Videos online so that God is glorified and the proclamation of the gospel goes out. Light cuts the darkness. People are rebuked. Rebuke. Do you know what that means?
No, not the vocab definition.
Correction. So if you loved me and I'm going in sin, wouldn't you want to correct me?
Yeah.
Oh, you rebuked me. You're mean-spirited. You see how this works? It's godly to correct. Yeah. It's loving. Jesus says this to the rich man. I love this. Ready? It's in Mark 10, I believe. The rich man comes to him and say, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the law. And he says, I've done that. Jesus, being God, didn't contest that. And I love this. The Bible says Jesus loved him and says, one thing you lack. Go read it. He loved him enough to tell him the one thing he lacked. And he said, get rid of your stuff. You love your stuff more than me. Couldn't do it. That's the American church system. They love the Packers. They love their hunting, fishing, idolatry. They love their pride, their vanity. They love all that more than God. They're not going to enter the kingdom of God.
It's pretty deep stuff.
I'm here for you, man. Yeah. Don't go to them. Go into the Word. If you need help, email me. I'll take you right to Scripture. I'm not going to put your fire out. I don't want your money. We do this for free. I don't take people's money. I have no motive. They've got a motive. They've got a motive. In fact, right now, let me tell you a story. I'm helping a young man right now. How old do you say you are?
21.
Okay, he's 25. His father and mother came out of the church system. They don't go to church anymore, but they're worldly, lukewarm Christians. And he started learning about all these doctrines, and he's obeying them. Him and I together went to his dad. His dad and mom are making all kinds of excuses to not obey God. And the Bible says because of that, we can't walk with them. We can't be united to them. Romans 16, 17 says, mark those and avoid them who leave sound doctrine. And his parents are doing everything they can. They're saying, watch out for this guy. And he's saying, well, show me what he's teaching wrong in the Bible. They can't. Be careful. He said, he doesn't want my money. We're just brothers in the Lord. They're sending him pictures of his dog at home. They're telling him, we're your mom and your dad. We love you. I have a question. Did Jesus say he came to separate mothers, fathers, sons, daughters? In Matthew 10, he did.
Oh, he did?
Go read Matthew 10. He said, I come to separate mothers from fathers, sons, fathers from sons. He said the people in your family are going to be your own worst enemy. Go read Matthew 10. Jesus would call you away from all those people that aren't seeking the kingdom, because all they're going to do is drag you down.
Right.
And last thing, test yourself right now. Are you willing, don't answer this, I want you to ponder this, are you willing to lose every relationship, every family member, every dream and aspiration you have, everything about you for Christ and the kingdom of God to go follow him? If you say no, don't waste your time. Go back with mom and dad, be a worldly Christian, wait for your wrath coming, and you'll have family and fun and Packers and picnics and all that stuff, and then wrath comes on you. But if you say, yes, Lord, give me the strength, I'll forsake everyone for you. God says, come, and then you know who your new family is? The people of God.
Right.
The people of God. I have a young brother who would love to edify, encourage you. He's right about where you are, just ahead of you a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's right there. He's right there. He's made these decisions within the last few weeks, and he's following the scriptures. And I tell him all the time, test me, read the scriptures, bring me anything I say that's wrong. I love to be tested. I love, look at me. I'm out here saying, bring a Bible. Have you seen anybody surround me to refute me, Adam?
No.
That should encourage you that I love the truth.
Right.
The modern pastors, out of the thousands of modern pastors I've rebuked face-to-face, emailed, talked to on the phone, do you know how many of them have repented of even the things that they admit are sinful?
None, no.
Why do you think that is?
Right.
They're making money.
Yes.
It's their job. It's their popularity. As soon as they change everything, one guy told me, if I teach what you teach, and I said, is it in the Bible? He goes, it is. He goes, I'll empty this building out. I said, that's not the people of God. It's a goat farm. This is a goat farm. You want to be a sheep of God. Anything else?
No.
I love you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I hope to hear from you.
Yeah.
Pray about it. Get in the Word. Here's what I tell people. Last thing. Take a break from churchianity.
Have you ever...
Wait, take a break.
Yeah.
Tell your family, you know what? I just want to clear my mind. No, I'm not running away. I'm not falling away. I'm going to be in the scriptures for the next 2 or 3 months. I'll talk to you on the other side about what I'm learning. That's what I would challenge you to do. Go to God, go to the Spirit, go to the Word, because you're going to get indoctrinated with the fellowship and all that. Get away from it, because God did not ordain that we gather Sunday morning. Now, it does say, don't forsake the gathering. In Hebrews 10:25, they're going to throw that at you. Guess who we gather with? True saints, not people that are going to lead you into the world. And we can gather online. We can encourage you, like I do with brothers we know saints all over the world. You know what we're seeing, Adam? Not any one building where there's true biblical saints. One here, one there, two there, one there. They're scattered all over the world because they're a puny few. Look at what big gatherings bring together.
Have you ever come across a church that speaks the truth? No.
Not fully in a building. And if you say you're a liar, show me one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I challenge. One guy the other day said, my church. I said, what's it called? Oh, Mission Church downtown. I looked it up. I said, they keep the pagan holidays. Oh, well, yeah. I said, they don't teach you how to come out of the culture. The pastor's into sports and politics, entertainment. They're worldly. They're carnal. Oh, he goes, well, yeah. I said, that's not the biblical body of Christ. They're following that evangelical system, most of them, that's not of the Father. So, no. No, and it fits exactly. Paul said there'll be a great falling away. Jesus said the love will wax cold. There'll be very few true saints. Don't look for numbers. You know who you look to? One guy told me, well, I got to go to church because I like being around people. I said, who are you worshiping and who are you seeking, Jesus or people? Don't be a fellowship idolater by having to have a lot of people around you. You got to be a Noah. Noah stood alone. We don't even know if his family were believers. Doesn't say that. He was the believer. He was the patriarch of the family. His sons could have said, whatever, Dad. He was the believer. And he didn't compromise with a bunch of worldly people to have numbers, did he?
No.
So don't do that.
Who was right?
Huh?
And who was right? Yeah.
Remember this, Adam. With God, it's always a majority. Everybody will say, oh, you're in the minority. We're in the majority with God because Judgment Day is coming. And he's going to separate. I've been preaching it.
You think with how the world's going, you think we're getting there?
Well, of course. Absolutely. I sold my homestead. I sold everything I owned to finance myself to go out in the world and preach. Absolutely. We are in the last days. Satan's getting his grip on this world. Homosexuality's coming into the church. More and more and more of compromise. They're going back to Rome. The church system's evangelical. They're going back to Rome. There's going to be a one world unity come together led by the Pope and the Muslim faith. And if you're outside of it, biblical Christians, you'll be persecuted. Either go along with the system or you're going to be persecuted. So get ready. Lose your life now and be ready for it. Forsake everything. When it comes to like a job, ready? I got to tell you this. Forsake careers. Forsake your aspirations. Forsake making a bunch of money. They own you. I used to be in sales. My wife and I were in business world. The higher you go, the more they own you. Is that not true?
Right.
Be a janitor. Be a construction worker. Be a guy that stocks groceries. Be a lowly guy. Live frugal. Live debt-free. Live small. And serve God. And here's a big key. Your job should support your Christian life and your ministry. Everyone else has a job and tries to fit Jesus in. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Your job should support your ministry and make sure it's good, godly, pure, and true. But trash the career. This guy went to college for 7 years. This young guy I'm telling you about. It's all gone now. He said, I can't do that career. He said, it's worldly. He said, I don't care. I'll be a janitor. I'll be anything. He'll do spot jobs. He's single. I'll do what? Lose the life. Lay it all down. The man said, Jesus said, come follow me. He said, let me go and bury my dad. What did Jesus say? Do you remember?
I don't.
Let the dead bury the dead. He didn't say, go bury him. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Come with life. Come with life, Adam.
Some powerful stuff.
I hope to hear from you.
You will.
All right. I love you, man.
Thank
I love you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
God be praised. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Got to give a praise report right here on this day. Let's see. Going to do a praise report on the next audio.